Good morning, this is Chris English, and once again it's my pleasure to welcome you to this edition of At Home This Morning, which is our magazine programme that we hope will provide you with a look at our world, both in and around the city of Brighton Hove and further afield, all for both our older listeners and those not so old. In the next hour, we'll be joined by Dr. Dawn Harper with news about a new NHS cancer awareness scheme, and Gemma Curtis will be here with news on the town that's just along the coast from us, but which has more cinemas and theatres than we have here in Brighton. And if you're a parent or grandparent, we'll bring you some tips on how you can help your loved ones by spotting early signs of mental health issues before it's too late. Now, that dreaded C word is at the forefront once again, and of course we're talking about cancer. But the NHS have come up with a Help Us, Help You campaign, and to find out what that's all about, we're delighted to be joined by Dr. Dawn Harper. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Chris. So absolutely. So the NHS England campaign is a cancer busting tour, which is part of the Help Us Help You. And really, Chris, it's all about opening up conversations around cancer. And it kind of has two very strong messages. The first is to raise awareness amongst the public as to the symptoms to be looking out for. And the second is to very much encourage people to come forward with any symptom that they can't really explain. If there's something wrong with their body, they just don't feel right, to come forward and see us. And the thinking behind that is that most times, actually, we're going to be able to give you some reassurance, and it's not going to be the big C. But NHS England have identified that over half of people regularly worry that something could be cancer. And we know that across the board, if we do diagnose a cancer, then the earlier we diagnose that, if we pick cancers up at an early stage, then the treatment is easier, less invasive, but also the outlook is so much better. So they've identified, when they're looking at a double-decker bus, they're saying if there were 78 passengers on that bus, all with a cancer diagnosis, if the diagnosis was made at an early stage, then 65 of those 78 people would survive cancer. And that's what it's all about, that we've increasingly got better and better at managing cancer, and more people are surviving it. So this is about saying we are through the pandemic. The public have been very good at perhaps not coming forward, but our doors are very much open in general practice, and we want to hear from you if there is something in your body that doesn't feel quite right. If you're worrying that something could be cancer, please don't let fear put you off coming forward. We want to talk to you. We will probably be able to give you some reassurance, but even if we give you that big C diagnosis, if we give you that diagnosis at an early stage, you're very likely to survive it. So it's about making sure that people are having those conversations and coming forward and talking to us.
Does that mean that we've actually found a cure, or is it just that people are more aware?
So our management of cancer has become better. And of course, we don't find a single cure, because cancer is an umbrella term, and you can get cancer in all sorts of different parts of our bodies, which are managed differently. But I think We are, as a society, better at recognising the symptoms and coming forward. And also medicine is better at treating. And this is a sort of push to say, let's do even better. Let's get people through our doors. And the kind of symptoms we're talking about, Chris, are things like if you notice blood in your pee or your poo when you go to the toilet, if you find a new lump maybe in the shower or when you're getting dressed in the morning, if you're inexplicably tired, you don't know why you're feeling so tired, if you've got pain and you don't know why, you haven't injured yourself but you've got this ongoing pain, or maybe even just a tummy upset or a cough that's going on and on for 3 weeks or more, then we want to see you, and mostly we'll be able to reassure you, put that worry to rest, and it'll be something much less serious. But if it is cancer, if we can do the tests and make the diagnosis early, then you are much more likely to survive it. So everybody wins if we're having those conversations at an early stage.
Now, we're constantly told the NHS is under pressure like never before. So are we in danger of getting people to cry wolf too early?
No, I don't think so. So I think that the NHS have had various campaigns, and we are still very much encouraging you to perhaps go to your pharmacist for minor problems, so that we free up general practice appointments for the potentially more serious things. And so those symptoms that I've just mentioned are very much things that we in general practice want to hear from you. Our doors are very much open. Yes, the NHS is under pressure, but actually the NHS is going to be under greater pressure if we make later diagnoses, because that means that treatment is often more prolonged, more invasive, more expensive, and possibly more unpleasant for the individual. So this is a really positive campaign saying we can make a difference. We do want to see you. Mostly we'll be able to reassure you. And so we get rid of that worry, because if you don't come, at best you just leave yourself with that nagging doubt and worry in the back of your mind, which is awful. But at worst, maybe you leave your condition so that it might be more difficult to treat. So we definitely want to be having those conversations.
And what are the warning signs?
So the sorts of things we're looking for are blood in your pee and your poo, unexplained weight loss, unexplained pain, unexplained fatigue, and other symptoms like a tummy upset or a cough that goes on for more than 3 weeks, a sore throat that goes on for more than 3 weeks. So, of course, if you've got a bit of a sore throat or a cough, we would like you to deal with that with advice from your pharmacy. But if this is going on, you know, most ordinary coughs and colds and so on will clear up in the space of 3 weeks. And if they don't, that's when we want to see you in general practice, so that we make sure that we hopefully can rule out cancer. And in most cases, that's exactly what we'll be able to do. But if this is the early signs of a cancer, then if we make that diagnosis at an early stage, you are much more likely to survive the cancer and to be treated and cured.
Do you think we'll ever get to find a cure, or is that too big a word?
I think the A cure is too big a word. It won't be one simple cure. We are making inroads all the time. We're getting new treatments. We're getting new tests so that we can pick things up at an earlier and earlier stage. And I think already our survival rates, our cures are so much better than they were even just 10 years ago. So the future is bright, but it is important that we're having the kind of conversations that we're having this morning, Chris, and that we are making sure that people come forward at an early stage, because then a cure is much more possible.
And finally, Dawn, those symptoms to look out for again?
Blood in your pee or your poo, unexplained weight loss, unexplained pain, a new lump maybe you find in the shower or when you're getting dressed, any new lump. Most are benign, but we do want to see them. Unexplained weight loss or other symptoms that persist, so diarrhea or feeling nauseous, having indigestion, having a cough, that persist for more than 3 weeks, that they're consistent and they're there for more than 3 weeks. Those are the sorts of things that we want to see you in general practice and have the conversations about.
I was talking there to Dr. Dawn Harper about a new NHS scheme plans to make it easier to spot cancer in the early stages. Now, just along the coast and just a bus ride or a train ride away is, of course, Worthing. And they have a whole range of theatres. And they've just announced their summer season of activity. And joining us to tell us all about it, Gemma Curtis, Head of Programming. Good morning, Gemma.
Good morning, Chris. Hello, how are you?
Okay, and so where do we start?
Well, I think it would be good to start just to give you an idea. So this programme that we've just launched, the season we've just launched, is March to September this year. So, we're delighted. We've got a really packed schedule of events, live work, across the town, across our venues. Yeah, it's a really exciting period of time for Worthing Theatres and Museum.
And talking about the venues, what are the venues in Worthing? I mean, most people, I assume, will be familiar with the Pavilion, but what other venues are there?
So as Worthing Theatre's a museum, we've got the Connaught Theatre and Connaught Studio. That's where I'm based at the moment, talking to you from. We've got the Pavilion Theatre and Pavilion Atrium, which is on the seafront, beautiful seafront venue there. We also look after the Assembly Hall and Richmond Room, which is just across from where I'm sitting. I can see it from the window, and Worthing Museum. So those are the ones that Worthing Theatre's museum programme for and look after.
Now, these are all, unlike the Theatre Royal in Brighton, all of your venues are owned by the council, are they?
They are indeed, yes, yes. And Worthing Theatre is a museum. We are we programme and look after the content for the town.
Okay, and what sort of programming have you got coming up?
Well, we've got, yeah, across the range, across genres, we have got lots of exciting things in the next period of time. We've got, shall I just pick out a few highlights from our theatre to start with, perhaps? Because we're very excited. In a few weeks' time, we've got Henry V coming to us, and that's a production by Shakespeare's Globe and Headlong Theatre. We had Headlong last year, who came to us with a week-long run with Jitney, and it was a huge success. They're an amazing, exciting, vibrant London-based theatre company. Very, very much on, very exciting ones to watch. And Henry V is coming to us. It's just finished his run at Shakespeare's Globe, and then it's coming to Worthing. It's only playing a few venues in the UK. So it's the Globe, Leeds Playhouse, Royal and Durngate, and Worthing Theatres and Museum. So we're very excited about that. It's a real coup for us. And we love working with Headlong. And I have seen the production at the Globe and cannot wait for it to be in Worthing. That's in a few weeks' time. So yeah, tickets are going fast for that. So that's a good one to come and see.
Okay, and what about something perhaps less highbrow?
Well, actually, interestingly, you obviously started your introduction about Worthing. So we've got a piece of theatre, a small piece in the studio called Second Summer of Love, which is about the 90s rave scene. And that's got lots of local links. So the artist, who creator who wrote that and performs in it, is actually Surrey based, but it's inspired by Stern's nightclub, which is was in Worthing, so lots of people in the area will have come to that in their youth. And yeah, it's going to be a really fun night out, and we're going to have that followed up by some music and soundtrack from the 90s, and we're expecting lots of local people to come and enjoy that one. But yeah, we've got loads of other things which are, if you're looking for a bit more alternative to straight theatre, we also do loads of circus and dance programming at Worthing Theatres. We were very passionate about those genres. We've got some amazing pieces of work coming up, one of which we saw in Edinburgh Festival, which was is called The Chosen Haram, and that is a phenomenal piece of work, which has stuck with myself and our creative director Amanda O'Reilly. We both went to see it, and it's stuck with us. So it's actually about the story of two gay men experiencing a new relationship. It's got a really banging soundtrack, but it's amazing. They perform on two Chinese poles, and it's extraordinarily put together. And it's produced by Turtle Arts, who are the producers of Occam's Razor, which are another really massive circus company, really well respected and regarded. So that's another piece of work that if you can come along, I really, really recommend. Really exciting.
And what about amateur theatre?
So we have do feature, we work a lot with the Worthing community, and we've got a few WMTC and WMCS both coming to us. So the Worthing Musical Theatre Company are bringing School of Rock to Worthing. That's in September, so there's a bit of a time before that one, but their first performance with us, the first run of shows with us, is Our House, and that's the Madness musical, and that's happening in March. And then Worthing Musical Comedy Society, they're with us in May, and they're actually doing Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. So yes, a real range of things for people to enjoy there.
Now, of course, Worthing is unusual in as much that it has two cinemas, doesn't it? The Dome on the seafront, but also you have film show in the Connaught.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are in a really lovely position that we have two cinemas, so lots of options for people in the town. As you mentioned, the Dome, which is our local venue down the road, and as you say, the Connaught Theatre. So the Connaught Theatre and Studio, where we're based as an organisation, we obviously have lots of live work going on here: theatre, comedy, dance. We programme across those genres, but it also is a cinema, as you mentioned, and actually a very impressive cinema. We have fantastic quality of equipment and screens. I'm not an expert in it by any means, but the we've got Dolby Surround 7.1 sound, so it's a really, really amazing quality cinema. It's not just a screen on its own. It's it's better than often going to a multiplex, you know, the quality of the digital image and the sound quality. So we're very proud of that.
Wonderful. And obviously, all of these things cost a lot of money to set up. So is the council behind everything you do?
The council is very, very supportive, and we have a wonderful working relationship with the council, and they, of course, yes, very, very supportive to what our aims are. In terms of how we're very lucky that the Worthing community are really, really supportive. We found that because we program such a diverse range of work, you know, for families, for big music shows, across the board, there's hopefully something for everyone in the town to enjoy. And we're very lucky that people are coming to us, buying tickets, taking part, coming to our cinema, going to the museum. So we're really very grateful that the Worthing community are just really 100% behind us. And hopefully we are supplying them with things that they want to get involved with and come and see and enjoy as a cultural offer.
And what about the age group? Because Worthing, possibly unkindly, has got a bit of a reputation for being for the elderly. So do you take that in account for when you do your programming?
Well, I think it's a really interesting point, Chris, and the demographic of Worthing is definitely very, very... has changed quite a lot. And even since I've been here, I moved to Worthing to be part of Worthing Theatre Museum for my job just before the pandemic. And even in the period of time I've been here, I've seen a change in, we've got a lot of younger families moving to the area. We have a lot of people who have moved from Brighton for their family home. We've got people coming from London. We've got a really diverse audience, and actually, there was obviously we program for across the board. So we have some shows that are traditional audiences who maybe a bit older would like to come to. So we've got our Glenn Miller orchestras, and we do things for matinees and shows like that. But what we love about what we do is that we also have work for families, young people. We have an outdoor summer season that's obviously included in this March to September bracket. And that is very much aimed at engaging with people in the town. It's all completely free. It's based either in front of the pavilion or situated in the town centre. They're completely free performances, and that allows lots of the younger families and people who might not have access to arts and culture or may feel just chance upon it. And so we really like to have that offer to the town. But I think the good thing about what we do is that, as I say, we've got family work as well, and we have something for that really does go across age ranges.
We're hearing there from Worthing Theatre's Head of Programming, Gemma Curtis. But now we move from one theatre to another, this time along the coast of Chichester, where we're joined by Lucinda Morrison. Good morning, Lucinda.
Good morning, Chris. Lovely to be talking to you again.
Absolutely. And another hit show in the making?
Well, we certainly hope so. We hope another hit whole festival season in the making. I mean, it's quite a special one for us because this is our artistic director, Daniel Evans' last season with us. He's been here for 7 years, and he's going off to the co-artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, which is very exciting for him, but rather sad for us to lose him. But I think he's going out with a real bang. This season has got the usual, a huge range of musicals and new plays and classic plays and so on. So we really hope there's something for everybody here.
Always the height of the season is a musical. So what's in store this year?
So we've got three musicals this year, but the summer musical, the big centrepiece this year, is Rodgers and Hammerstein's perhaps most beloved musical, The Sound of Music, which surprisingly has never been done at Chichester before. We've done obviously other great Rodgers and Hammerstein shows like Oklahoma, South Pacific, which was a couple of years ago, and then went to London on a UK tour last year, and was a huge success, and which starred Gina Beck as Nellie Forbush. And we're delighted that she is coming back to play Maria von Trapp this year. We're waiting to find out the other casting for the rest of the company, but it will be really lovely to have Gina back. And I can let you into a little secret. I heard her singing The Hills Are Alive the other day, and it was just glorious. She has such a beautiful voice. And the production is going to be directed by Adam Penford, who is artistic director of the Nottingham Playhouse and has done a whole string of wonderful productions up there. So again, we're really looking forward to that production, and I'm sure it's going to be hopefully as popular as last year's Crazy for You, and indeed South Pacific was, and everybody can come and know all those wonderful tunes.
And when are the dates?
So the dates for The Sound of Music, it opens on the 10th of July, and it runs through to the 3rd of September.
Right, so quite a long run. And
yes.
Now, of course, Gina was made a name, apart from having a lovely voice, by being pregnant when she played Nellie Forbush in South Pacific. So presumably that infant will be with her in the dressing room.
I think it will, yes. I mean, when she was on tour with South Pacific last year, she kept sort of posting lovely pictures of the baby sitting on stage, you know, in empty theatres and things, and in dressing rooms. So yes, I'm sure there'll be somebody else to look after the baby as well, and her older little girl. But yes, it will be lovely to have the family back with us. So a real sort of Chichester baby, you know, born and bred.
Wonderful. Lucinda, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
We're hearing from Chichester Festival Theatre's Lucinda Morris.
You're listening to At Home This Morning, which is a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb, Brighton's only truly local radio station, broadcasting on 97.2 FM, DAB Digital Radio, and online at www.radioreverb.com.
Now, for many of our listeners, mental health in children is something that you thought had gone away when the children left home and you perhaps now got grandchildren. But we've just had Children's Mental Health Week. And to tell us all about what's going on and how we can think about our children and grandchildren and their mental health, we're joined by Tom Crombie. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
How important is it that we talk about and think about our children and grandchildren's mental health?
Yeah, Chris, I think it's hugely important. I think it's something that has always been there throughout generations. Of course, there's been mental health challenges within everybody at times, I'm sure. But it's not until recently we've started to recognise this and started to talk about it, particularly amongst young people. And, we've gone through a pandemic that's been a hugely challenging time for all of us, a hugely challenging time for young people who missed so much of their education. And I think we learned a lot throughout the pandemic about, we're often told how to look after our physical health, about our diet and exercise. But until recently, we've started to be educated a lot more, particularly in schools, about how to look after our mental well-being, which is as important, if not more important, perhaps in some areas than our physical well-being. So it seems like it's a relatively new conversation. I think we're at the start of a long journey to improve mental well-being amongst young people. But something that's hugely important that schools and parents and grandparents are understanding so that they can support their child or indeed their grandchild with their mental health.
And what can parents and grandparents actually do?
I think first and foremost is having conversations, opening up conversations and showing that they understand. I think in some households, it can still be a bit of a stigma to talk about mental health. We're taught to be resilient and we're taught to be strong and we're taught to just go and get on with it. And that's fine. And I think some of those are important learnings. But in a modern world where there are more and more pressures, we're moving at a faster pace than we've ever moved before, I do think that we have to recognise that. And I think being able to, as parents or grandparents, open up safe spaces to say it's okay to talk, it's okay to not feel great, it's okay to be having a bad day. And then to look to get to the root cause of that problem, I'm just trying to understand, well, why? Why do we feel like that? And what is it that we can perhaps change in our lives, whether that be diet or sleep or exercise or overwhelm or whatever it may be, to try and improve things? So I think the first and foremost is opening up, having those connections and talking.
And of course, a lot of those older people we've just been talking about, mental health is something that was there, but you didn't talk about it, as you say. How can they find out? How can our listeners find out more about what they can do to help their children and grandchildren?
There's some wonderful resources at childrensmentalhealthweek.org.uk, including how to support young people and including what parents or indeed grandparents can do to support. It is for many and often, you know, for older generations. I speak to my own grandparents, and it is in some aspects, it's a new concept that we started to talk about this. It can be challenging. It can be difficult, but there's some great resources out there. And I think it's just understanding and having those conversations that it's okay to not feel okay.
How can we put that across to the young people without seeming patronising?
I think there's a lot of great work going on in schools just now, and teachers are doing a good job to educate young people to understand that it's fine to feel like this, and it's okay to ask for help, and signposting them in places. So I think for a lot of young people, they know the terms. You know, when I was at school, and I'm sure probably the vast majority of listeners, words like mindfulness and mental well-being and mental health were simply alien to us. We didn't talk about them. Whereas young people now, they do understand them. They do hear about them in schools. So I think that schools do a great job. And it's about then having the connection between home and school to ensure that parents and grandparents can amplify the message that's being supported in schools to say, you know, let's have a conversation about that. What can we do to improve things?
Wonderful. Tom, thank you very much for joining us. And that website address again?
Is childrensmentalhealthweek.org.uk.
On 97.2 FM and online at radioreverb.com, this is Radio Reverb. And you're listening to At Home This Morning, a programme for older listeners.
For our final interview, we're turning the spotlight onto the sometimes cloudy waters of pensions. And to try and shed some light on the matter, I spoke to Becky O'Connor from PensionBee, who first explains how savers could make a significant reduction to their carbon footprint by switching their investments. Good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
The question must be, a lot of our listeners, I suspect, are already drawing their pension. So is this idea still relevant to them?
So with this new impact plan, the plan is invested in global equities. So it's invested for capital growth. And for most of your listeners, if they're drawing pensions, they would be invested in a plan that's designed to offer them an income rather than one that's designed for capital growth. Because as you get older, as you probably know, it's important that the value of your pot doesn't fluctuate wildly, so that you can know with some certainty what you're able to take out of your pot as an income. So this plan, we have seen from existing customers that the age range of people choosing to switch to this plan, which is a positive impact plan, so it has a positive impact on the environment and society, the age does go up to around 70. So it is appealing to all ages. And, you know, although it is important to consider the risk level of your pension as you get older and you do want to take an income from it, there are some reason to continue investing in the capital growth portfolio, even as an older pension saver. And it may be that those older savers who have chosen to move to the plan are deliberately seeing that as a capital growth pot, perhaps, you know, to give to beneficiaries later on and to keep that money invested for the long term.
Does it matter where your pension is coming from, whether it's local government, NHS or anywhere?
Yes, it does. So this is a defined contribution personal pension. So it's not one that you would get from an employer. It's not one that you would find in the public sector. If you have former workplace pensions from public sector employment, they're likely to be defined benefit. And although you may be able to choose from a variety of plans, this particular one wouldn't be available to you. But it is always worth checking with your current or former employers what your options are within those plans if you can't switch them to a new provider, because you may find that there's a more sustainable option than the one that you're currently in, either with your existing employer or with previous schemes from previous employment. But defined contribution pensions are, they're the pot of money schemes where you build up over the years through investments in the stock market, whereas defined benefit, older style defined benefit, which you still find in the public sector, they operate very differently. So there may be more limited options there for those who are interested in making a positive impact with their pensions.
And how can people find out more?
They can visit pensionbee.com. We have an FAQ section which explains a little bit more about how the plan makes a positive difference, the type of companies that it is going to be investing in, and the scale of the problem, and also a bit more about the risk levels and so on, for anybody who is interested.
You talked about risk levels. Now, we live in a world where scams are all too prevalent, don't we? So how can people make sure that they're not jumping from the frying pan into the fire?
Well, we are an FCA regulated pension provider. We also offer financial services compensation scheme cover, which is important. And scams are a risk. And if you feel like you're being enticed to move your money to another pension provider, and you aren't sure if it is a legitimate offer, and it has come out of nowhere, very often scams will cold call you, then do speak to a financial advisor. Speak to PensionWise, which is the free government advice service on pensions. And also there is Action Fraud, if you suspect that you have been the victim of a scam. And these are the free places that you can go for a second or third opinion if you are concerned about that risk, which, you know, is a very legitimate concern to have, as you say, in the modern world.
Those companies again, or organisations again, could you give me the details?
Yes. So we are PensionBee, and the website is pensionbee.com. The plan is built in partnership with BlackRock, which is one of the world's largest asset managers. And you can find all the details on the website. You can also find our phone number on the website.
Becky, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Some wise words there on your pensions from PensionBee's Becky O'Connor. But of course, remember to take financial advice before you do anything. But now, as our 60 minutes of airtime is very nearly up, it's just about time for a goodbye from me. And so, until we next meet over the airwaves, or however you listen to Radio Reverb, Please don't forget that my co-presenter and engineer extraordinaire, Richard Davis, will be here with his next edition in a couple of weeks' time. You've been listening to At Home This Morning, which is a Grey Matters production for Radio Reverb. And you can listen again to a selection of some of the edition of the show by entering either Radio Reverb or Grey Matters Productions CIC into your internet browser, selecting the Listen Again tab, and then just choosing the actual show or show you'd like to hear again. And so, until we next meet again, this is Chris English signing off with my usual plea for you all to please keep safe and well. Bye for now.